stand together.
We're going to read you from Luke chapter 1, it's our text today. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me, or be to me fulfilled. But the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. This time of year, and also around Easter time, is where we see people come to church that usually don't. So I have a couple of jokes that are about people that don't go to church very frequently. And I think this probably even really happened at one church, but an usher was encouraging some worshipers to their seats. And it was before the Sunday morning service, and they asked a visiting couple where they would like to sit. The young man really looked confused, and he said, I guess non-smoking. Now, we think that's funny because we're always in church. But just think of someone who, the first time they come, and we don't think about that. There was one man, he attended church so infrequently that the people assumed that he was a visitor. After one Sunday service, the pastor grabbed him by the hand and pulled him aside, said, friend, you need to join the army of the Lord. The man replied, I am already in the army of the Lord, Pastor. Then why don't I only see you at Christmas and Easter, the pastor asked him. He said, well, I'm in the Secret Service. There's a Secret Service, you know, that goes on where people are at, but we don't see them. Today we're going to be talking about accepting the impossible. How many of you have ever seen a miracle or experienced a miracle and you knew it was God? They seem small, yeah. I mean, like, how did that accident not happen? I mean, you just cried out, Lord Jesus, and in the last minute, there's no way that you could not hit that truck or that car. And we see miracles, and we expect some miracles like that, but what about something even bigger with our life? I mean, Mary had one of the most impossible things happen to her. She gave birth without ever really having sexual encounter with a man. I mean, that's quite an impossible task. Do you know God wants to do the impossible through you? He wants to do the impossible through you. Say me. You can't say me? Say me.
Me.
God wants to do the impossible through me. Say that.
God wants to do the impossible through me.
Now that's up to us whether we allow him to do it or not. And Mary could have said, no, I don't want anything to do with this deal because this is really messy. People are going to could possibly stone me. This is a real mess. Back then, that was not a really good thing for a person who was unmarried or unengaged to be pregnant. Back then, you would be an outcast. Back then, you may even be stoned. You may be put to death for this serious infraction. What we're going to talk about today, first of all, in accepting the impossible is, number one, accept the impossible by inquiring of the supernatural. That's what Mary did. Mary didn't understand exactly what God was saying to her. This angel was giving her this news that she was going to be impregnated and she was going to give birth to the Savior of the whole world. She was going to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, who the Jewish people have been waiting for centuries. And here's little old teenage Mary, and the angel tells her this. Can you imagine how frightening it would be just to have an encounter with a supernatural angel, but then to have her be told this? What an impossible thing. So she inquires. It's okay. The first thing we need to do if we want to see God do the impossible is we need to ask questions. Mary said to the Archangel Gabriel, she said, how will this be? How can I possibly become pregnant? I am a virgin. How can this happen? She inquired how. See, God is not the author of confusion. He's a God of order. And at that moment, Mary was confused. And as many times in our Christian walk and in our life, we're confused and we have questions. And you know what? That's okay. That's not a lack of faith. Mary's mind was probably going back and forth, and she's probably thinking, God, how can this impossible thing be done? It's physical and biologically impossible for me to have a baby. And she has this confusion and this questions. And she says, how will that be? You see, faith has questions. Questions are not doubt or unbelief. Matter of fact, many of our prayer times should be times of where we're asking God questions to build up our faith, because He will answer our questions. Whether it be through the Word of God that we read, or through another person, or through His Holy Spirit whispering the answer into our mind and into our innermost being. In Isaiah, the Lord spoke through that prophet and said to us as His people, come and reason together with me. Some of our prayer times need to be times where we reason together with God. And we ask Him about the supernatural. God wants to do the impossible through us. God wants to do the impossible through this church. Let me give you an example of how God is going to use us in the impossible. We sponsor a church in Mozambique. Now, Mozambique is one of the most poorest countries out there, almost down there with Haiti. Matter of fact, a pastor there, a full-time pastor, gets paid. His annual salary is $660 for a full year. How could you live? Many of you, that's your paycheck for the whole week, and many of you make more than that a whole week. So they're very poor. They don't have clean water. So many people are dying. They don't have doctors. They just don't have the resources we have. They don't have electronics like we have. They are really lacking. And so here we sponsor this church in Mozambique, and this pastor and his wife, and they have no Bibles. The people in their church have no Bibles at all. And the pastor has no car, he has no motorcycle. So what we're going to do, because it would be like $1 trillion for them to give Bibles, 200 Bibles in their language, and a motorbike so that he can go around to the hospital and visit his people and to other places and other churches that he's pastoring. For only $2,660, we're going to do a miracle for them. We're going to do the impossible. Right? Because for them, that's a miracle. For them to get 200 Bibles is a miracle. For them to get a motorbike is a miracle. And they've been maybe praying for it, but God laid it upon our heart in this church to do this for them. Always expect a miracle. Inquire of the supernatural. Why would God do something supernatural, impossible, miraculous through us if we aren't aware of His plans? We need to be aware of His plan for our life and what our mission is here on earth. In order to know His plans, we have to ask questions. Have you questioned God lately? God, what do you want me to do in my life? I think for this first couple rows here, excluding Jack, we'll throw Jack out of the picture. These first couple rows here, you guys are right at the ages. What do you want me to do with my life? What's my purpose? And you need to be asking those questions and inquire. And God may tell you something, and it may say, that's impossible. I can never be that. I can never do that. No, it's not. Because nothing is impossible with God. Jesus said, all you have to do is believe, and anything is possible. Let's go on to the next thing. In order to accept the impossible, it's accept the impossible by allowing the Holy Spirit to come on you. Notice it says on you, not in you, but on you like it did Mary, and by living in the authority God gave you. In verse 35, if you have your electronic device or your Bible, this is what it says. The angel answered and told Mary how this was going to happen. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, God is going to overshadow you. He's going to come upon you. So that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world. So he tells her how it's going to be done. The Holy Spirit's going to come on. Notice it doesn't say it's going to fill her. We should be praying two things when we want God to do the impossible. We should be praying that he fill us with his Holy Spirit, but we also need to be praying that he comes upon us with his Holy Spirit. And an anointing of the Holy Spirit, a covering of the Holy Spirit come upon us. I never knew the difference until I grew up Lutheran, and I always felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. Gloria can probably attest to this. She grew up in the same church that I did. Not the same location, but the same denomination. And when that organ would play and we sing those old ancient hymns from the 15th century, I didn't understand them, but I'll tell you, you can feel the Holy Spirit come on you. You feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps. You felt the presence of God. And it wasn't until I went to another denomination that I had the other experience where I got infilled with the Holy Spirit, where I felt the Holy Spirit come inside me. And what a powerful, powerful thing that is. If you've not experienced either of those, ask God to fill you and ask God to pour His Spirit upon you and anoint you with His Holy Spirit. Anointing just means to be smeared. In the Old Testament, the priest, when he would anoint someone, especially anoint them as king, he would take a whole bucket of oil, olive oil, and pour it over the top of them so it covered their whole body down to their feet. And God was doing that to Mary, just pouring His Spirit upon her. Doing the impossible. But Mary said, I can't do this, God. God says, you're right. You can't do this. All through history and all through the Bible, we see people who said, I can't do this. Moses says, I can't do this. I can't speak well. Right? Everybody thinks that he had a speech impediment. We don't know what that is. God, don't send me. I don't speak well. But God said, no, I'm going to use you, Moses. I'm going to do the impossible through you, Moses. Accept the impossible by allowing the Holy Spirit to come on you. There was David. David was on the run. He was in a cave hiding. God had said he's going to be king. How's that possible when he's being treated like a criminal? But he kept believing in God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him. For you know it, David became king. And King David, we still talk about him. We read his psalms that he wrote in the Word of God. There was Joshua. I can't lead these people. There was Abraham. I can't do it. He tried to fix things on his own, remember? Peter said, I can't do it. Paul said, I can't do it. Jesus even said, I can't do it when he went to the cross. But then he said, Father, not my will, but your will. He didn't really want to be nailed to that cross. Father, I don't want to do that. And he had to have some supernatural thing happen to him in order for him to do it. He had to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon him in order to allow himself to be crucified and killed and sacrificed for you and for me. You know, it's okay to be a little bit nervous. Nervousness is a good thing. It causes us to rely upon the Holy Spirit. You see, when something impossible happens, I've preached a message before, and then someone would come up afterward. I think it was the worst sermon I ever preached. I preached a pretty bad one. I mean, they stink. They stink that they're so bad. I remember preaching a message on tithing one time, and someone got saved. Had an altar call afterwards. And they came up and gave their life to Jesus Christ. How does that connect? It doesn't connect. It's because that person was ready for the impossible, because they were ready to allow the Holy Spirit to be poured upon them and the authority of God to come upon them, and their life was drastically changed, and now they are a part of the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, eternal. The third thing I'd like us to look at today is this. Believe and accept that nothing is impossible with God. It says in says nothing is impossible with God. That's what verse 37 says. Now, I think a natural birth seems impossible to me. First of all, women, I don't know how you give birth. I don't want to be gross or graphic, but how do you do that? It's a miracle. And man, we don't really do anything. You know, we have the seed, and you have the egg, and they put it together, and now we have this intelligent human being walking around, sassing us back, learning how to walk, learning how to do math, speaking. That's a miracle. I think of the earth spinning on its axis. What stopped? What would happen if all of a sudden it stopped? Would we all like be flung out in the middle of nowhere? I think the earth spinning on its axis is a miracle. I think it's impossible. We read the story of the sun standing still in the book of Joshua for one whole day, for 24 hours. God held the sun still. And we're like, wow, how could he possibly do that? But yet, to make up for that, we have to have a leap year, right? We have to have that one day every leap year to make up for that time infraction that God made upon us. I want you to do something. Maybe you're not into this, but maybe you can put it on your phone, in your notes or somewhere in your phone. But if you have your Bible and you write in your Bible like I do, I want you to write something. Find enough space to write. You know, it has to be quite a big area. But I want you to write this down because you're going to need it someday. And it says, I want you to write this down. This is what I want you to write. The God of the impossible does the impossible for me. That's not, I got more after that, but I'll repeat that one again. The God of the impossible does the impossible for me. Do you want God to do the impossible for you? Yes. Do I want God to do the impossible for my wife? Yes. So the God of the impossible does the impossible for me. The next part you're going to write is this. Because it is impossible for me to do the impossible. Because it is impossible for me to do the impossible. We're all going to be in some stage of our life several times where we're going to need God to intervene and do the impossible. And we have to discern whether we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit or that he pour his Holy Spirit upon us like he did Mary to do the impossible. Praise God. Amen. You excited yet? Nobody. Okay. We need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We really do. The church needs to be put on fire. And the Holy Spirit is the fire that ignites the excitement and the ability to do the work of God and do beyond what we could possibly do. Let's look at the fourth thing. Accept the fact that you must give permission to do the impossible through you. You must give God the permission to do the impossible through you. Mary could have said no. But Mary said this in verse 38. She said, may it be to me as you have said, God. I know that this is going to be a big mess when I go tell my parents that I'm pregnant. And they're going to want to beat up Joseph, and Joseph had nothing to do with it. And when I go there, I go tell Joseph that I'm pregnant, and I'm going to tell him that God did it. Joseph's not going to believe this. This is a mess, God. But be it unto me as you have said. Do the impossible for me. Because if God, you want to change this planet, if God, you want to save these people known as humankind, and you want to use me, I surrender to your will. I give you permission. You see, God gives us the freedom to say no. He gives us what we call free will. And many Christians today are saying, no, God, keep your distance. Don't interfere with my life. I'm enjoying my life. I'll call on you when I need you. When there's a tragic thing that happens in my family, or someone gets cancer, or someone's really hurting really bad, or something, then I'll come to you. I don't need you right now. Don't interfere with my life. God is just a go-to fix it kind of God. But God wants to have fellowship and a relationship with us on a daily basis. He wants to be your friend. Amen?
Amen.
He's just not someone we go to when there's tragedy. That's like your kids only coming to you because they want something. You know? Why about your kids just coming to you to want to sit in your lap and hug you and say, I really love you? That's priceless. That's really priceless. So God gives us the freedom to say no. America said no, and people are saying no and no, no to God over and over again. Let's start saying yes to God. Amen?
Amen.
Unbelief sometimes is caused, and we don't follow through because we don't believe God can do it through us because we have different things such as low self-esteem, bad self-image. And God's trying to say, I made you in my image and in my likeness, and though you don't think you're so hot, I think you're something. Amen?
Amen.
You are someone special. God made you for a purpose. Find out what the purpose is and allow Him permission to do something through you that's miraculous and impossible beyond your scope of talent and skill, and allow Him to work through you. Somebody get excited about this message. Someone get excited about the fact that God can use you personally to change your world and your community. That God can pour out His Holy Spirit on you like He did Mary and like He did many of the other people, the Old Testament prophets, the apostles, the disciples. God used it. A lot of times it's our lack of confidence, or we grew up in a negative environment and our self-image is marred by that. God says none of that counts. When it comes to me, your slate is clean. You are a child of God. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a child of the great I Am. You're a child of the one who spoke the worlds and the universe into existence. You are the child that I allowed to be birthed, and it's by no accident that you're here. Don't waste your life because you've only got 70, 80, at a good maybe 95 years. Don't waste it, but use it for my glory because you're going to spend eternity with me. And if you don't know me here, how will you feel at home with me when you get to eternity? When is the last time I said yes to God about something I thought I could not do? Probably yesterday for me. When is the last time that you said, I can't do that, God? A.W. Tozer, who was a great preacher, he wrote many books, said this: we have as much of God as we actually want. That slaps me silly some days. I have as much of God as I actually want. Remember the old chorus we used to sing? I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give it more of me. Now, as the song sort of changed, I don't want much of Jesus. No, no, no. I don't want much of Jesus. I don't want to know. I don't want Him to ask me to do something impossible. So I won't ask Jesus. No more, more for me. I just made that up. Give me a. Oh, Lord, help us. We choose whether we have a mundane, flat, lifeless walk with Christ. We choose that. We choose whether our life is an exciting, spirit-filled walk with Christ. This is measured by how we accept doing His mission. So the three big questions today are this. Here's the first one. What am I doing for Christ? Right now. While I'm in church. See me? I'm here. I'm sitting in a pew. I'm putting over almost an hour now of sacrifice of my time to be in the house of God by glory. No! Coming to church is not going to make you any more a Christian than sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. Amen?
Amen.
What are you doing for Christ today? What are you going to do for Him tomorrow? The second question, what will I try doing? It's okay to fail. Man, you should have heard some of the first sermons I ever preached. It's a wonder that anybody ever let me preach. And then the third one, what is so impossible to do that I know God has to do it through me? You see, we want easy things. We want easy things. We want the easy road. Lord, make my life easy and comfortable. But it won't. It's got its bumps anyways. Amen. Let's pray and ready our hearts for communion today. Lord, we thank you today for your word. Lord, help us to allow you to pour your Holy Spirit on us, that we may actually feel the presence of a holy God, that we may be changed by this holy God pouring himself on us and filling us with his Spirit. We ask this in your wonderful holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.